Good morning. It's always a little disconcerting when. All right. So, hey, it's good to see you. I'm glad you survived the cold. Apparently, it did frost last night. I don't know if you saw the roofs as I was driving in, but it looked like it was cold. One thing I want everyone to be aware of and be praying about, some of you remember Austin and Caroline. They were members here for a while. Austin works with us at Camp Manitani. But they have two little girls. One is a little over 1 year old. I think the other one is a little over 2 years old. And they were expecting a third, a boy, Archer was his name, and she miscarried, a late-term miscarry, and they lost the baby. And so there's trauma there, just in the way that everything happened, and I just want the church to be praying for them. They are being looked after, pretty well taken care of, but if you want their address to send them a card of sympathy, then by all means, let me know, and I'll get you that address. They live in Millersville, right where the college is, or the university, right, Millersville. So they live down there. So anyway, just keep them in your prayers. Be mindful of them. And I've talked with Austin, doing okay, but anyway, how. That's all right. What's up? What's happening? All right, that's fine. Everything's right in front of me anyway. Gonna go the old-fashioned way, baby. Just have to look at my face and go from there. Good luck, everyone. All right. So, while the word Christian gets thrown around in many different contexts, and it has several different meanings. And so, you know, we use the word Christian today to just mean a lot of different things. But when someone in the Christian church wants to talk about discipleship or being a disciple of Jesus, I have noticed that our tone becomes more serious and the conversation becomes more pointed. A disciple is a follower or student of a particular teacher. And in the Bible, it is particularly referencing those who have come to follow Christ. Those who have come to follow Christ. So, throughout the Gospel and Acts, the word disciple is used over a couple hundred times in the Gospel and Acts. Disciples is actually more common in the Bible as a word used to describe those who are following Jesus than the word Christian. And in my mind, the topic of discipleship goes beyond notions of culturally acceptable practices of religion to truly and authentically following Jesus. And so I'm reminded of this verse in Ephesians chapter 4. It's become a passage of scripture that I really love. And I'm challenged by it a lot. This is just one of those passages that encourages me and challenges me at the same time. And it says this, that he, that is Jesus, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. See, it's always going to be wrong to talk about the growth of the church without addressing our own spiritual maturity as disciples of Jesus. Yes, we are to be a worshiping community, meaning that we are to sing, we are to pray, and place Jesus at the center of all we do. Yes, we are to be a fellowshipping community, meaning that we are to share meals and service, to be together in the name of Jesus, share conversation, go to one another's homes, and serve one another. But also, yes, we are to be a discipling community, which means we are to help people follow and obey Jesus. And so every follower of Jesus is expected to grow and mature in three areas. The first one is our commitment to Jesus. Jesus, I don't know if you all know this, but Jesus wasn't exactly a very popular teacher. He said some pretty hard things. And there's this story in John 6 where he's teaching the crowd, and the crowd says, How are we supposed to do this, Jesus? This is hard. And it even reports that after this, after Jesus said, well, this is the teaching and this is what you're going to need to do, that after this, many disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. That Jesus himself lost disciples because of the commitment level that he was expecting of them. Committed disciples follow Jesus on good days and bad days, on hard days and easy days. They have made their vows to Jesus, and they understand that the stakes are high. They make life choices, life decisions, thinking to themselves, how would Jesus handle this? And usually these things go beyond matters of personal opinion, not like what would Jesus drive, a Hummer or a Bronco. I don't think that matters. Or who does Jesus want to win, the Bills or the Steelers today? Again, it's going to be the Bills, but I don't think it really matters. What I'm talking about is like important things. I mean, imagine that I'm doing a wedding and I turn to Ashley and I say, repeat the vows after me. I, Ashley, take you, Kevin, to be my husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better but not for worse, for richer but no way for poorer, not in sickness but only in health, to love and to cherish until I feel otherwise. To you I pledge my faithfulness before God and these witnesses. Seems like cheap faithfulness if you ask me. And a committed disciple will not stand for such shallow obligations, but they know that the commitment to Jesus means life with Jesus no matter what is thrown their way. The second one is obedience to Jesus. Matthew 28:20 says in this passage that many of us have memorized, or at least have had memorized, it says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Some biblical texts would say, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded. I want you to understand that Jesus does want us to grow in our obedience to God's way. Obedient disciples live like Jesus and they talk about Jesus. They create opportunities to share their experiences of Jesus. They express what they are learning from Jesus. Obedient disciples teach other people how to obey Jesus. They understand the things that King Jesus wants from us. And they can distinguish those things from the things that are simply cultural standards or cultural religion and what they want from us. Cultural religion is usually more petty and more demanding in a different way than following Jesus. You know, I know how to change the oil in Haley's car and my car. And I've actually known how to perform this simple mechanical task for years. But up until recently, I had always paid to have it done for me. And I want to explain why. One, it saves me time when I get it done by someone else. Okay, I can do what I want instead of worrying about changing oil. Secondly, I don't get messy and I don't have to clean up afterwards. I don't know if you know this, but when you pull the plug, usually oil usually stays where I want it to, but every now and then it hits something and splatters and, you know, gets on my hands and I start smelling like I'm actually like a hard worker and I don't like that smell. But the main thing is that my knees and back don't hurt as much when someone else does it. Now, I don't know if you know this, but you actually have to like ramp the car. You have to get the car on these ramps and you have to crawl underneath there. And it's painful for someone who isn't usually in that position. What I want you to understand is there's a big difference between knowing how to change oil and actually doing it. Just like there's a big difference between knowing what Jesus wants for my life and actually doing it. You see, it costs us time to study and commit ourselves to understanding God's desires for us. Obedience is messy, and sometimes we mess it up. Things don't go as planned. And so sometimes we have to clean up, and that is also a part of learning and maturing. And I even think that there are times when we can become emotionally and spiritually sore because we exert energy and we find ourselves in uncomfortable positions that are all part of being obedient. I guess what I'm getting at here is obedience is hard work. But it's the hard work that we who are called to follow Jesus are supposed to be doing. The third thing that we are supposed to do, and when we talk about, do you all say mature or mature? Do you have a preference? Mature? Okay. I've heard it pronounced mature. I just want to make sure I am maturely saying maturity. Okay, so anyway, all right. So we'll go with maturity. You don't know about these things? You're not language professors. Okay, anyway. It's okay. I just want to say the right thing. Right, tomato? All right, so bearing fruit for Jesus. Galatians 5, that we, again, a familiar passage to us, 22 and 23, says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Verse 24 continues, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I want you to know that our fruitfulness as Christians is measured by the public reputation of the disciple. We are told in Scripture that our leaders are to be well thought of in the community by outsiders. That's in 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 7. One of the qualifications to lead the church is how you're viewed by the outside community in Ephesus. If this is a standard of leadership, then I want to kind of not just say, well, only the leaders have to have that. I want to extend it. Because if it's a standard of leadership, then it's surely something that each one of us should be moving towards, growing in. Fruitful disciples have good reputations inside and outside of the church. They are the go-to people. They are the safe people because God has produced in them a type of life that helps others. Fruitful disciples invite others, they love others, they encourage others to join in following Jesus like they do. One more example. I did not get one grape from my grapevines this year. Every other year I have received grapes from my grapevines. And I even have trouble this year calling them grapevines because they didn't really produce grapes. So I'm just going to call them vines this year because they're just vines. I think it was because of the amount of spotted lantern flies in my backyard and the fact that they have found a home on my vines. I think I might have to prune my vines back, burn the egg sacs of the lantern flies, and then try again to get grapes next year. You know, there are things in our lives that most assuredly get in the way of our fruitfulness. And we need to allow God to prune us back. We need pruned from our busyness and impatience, from our bitterness and resentment, from pretending that everything's okay, and maybe even from our apathy towards the lost and hell-bound neighbor who's easier to judge than to engage. To be a disciple of Jesus, we must produce fruit. And so these three things, commitment, obedience, and fruitfulness, are biblical standards of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. But we're all in process here. And so one of the questions that we have to ask ourselves is, how do we mature? How do we go from new disciple to mature disciple? Because obviously this doesn't just magically appear after 5, 10, 20 years of being a Christian. You know, I've said this before, but because you attend church worship service for 20 years doesn't really mean that you've matured at all. I mean, you know as well as I do that you can live in your parents' basement for 10 years, but that doesn't make you any more mature than you were 10 years ago. It makes you constantly present in your routine and ritual. Isaac, I was not thinking about you when I wrote that, just to be clear. Okay? Isaac's eyes got real big. And yeah. If you are there and you're 35, I will come to you and we'll have a conversation. Okay. And Mike is like, please move out because I would like that room. But anyway, all that to say, spiritual formation is made up of three characteristics in which growth must occur. And this is according to Tom Holland. So Holland asserted that people mature in Christ at the intersection of knowing, doing, and being, with being as the goal of a mature disciple, well equipped to practice faith for a lifetime. So, what does this mean? What's knowing? Knowing is having knowledge of the Word of God. This is what churches actually tend to do pretty well, which is focusing on the information we need to know to live our Christian faith. Christians tend to know Bible verses that have helped them or have spoken to them in times of need. Our growth and our knowledge of the Word seems to be the primary task of the church. But secondly, we have to have experiences in which our knowledge has some practical application in our life, and that's doing. So this is what churches have started to incorporate as the culture has asked about the relevancy of our knowledge. So when we can see the practical application of loving God and loving our neighbors played out, what we're seeing is the relevancy of our faith. When our community experience or faith actually does something, then the community then around us can see the relevancy of our knowledge. I remember a quote, and I have no idea who said this because I've heard so many people say it over the years, but I'm sure it stems from somewhere, and I'm sure if I took the time, I would have been able to figure it out. But you've heard this quote. It's kind of like a proverb. It says, people don't care how much you know. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. This is absolutely true culturally at this moment. And perhaps it's even true in our relationship with one another in the church. Because one of the things I would suggest is you must know that someone cares about you before you, and fill in the blank. Before you what? Well, before you open up. Before you share hurts, hang-ups, habits that need to change. We must know that someone cares about us before we receive from them. Lastly, is this being section here. So being is reflection and growth into more mature disciples. What this means, it says third part of the triad, and it's rarely given much time in our church experiences. And it involves reflection. Taking time to process and think about how our knowing and our doing has affected us. You know, we seldom ask questions like, how did that worship service make me feel? How did that class make me feel? When I gathered with the church for a fellowship meal, how did that make me feel? When I prepared food for someone in need, how did that make me feel? We don't often take the time to ask, who am I now that I know this insight from Scripture? Now that I've learned something new, does that change who I am? The standards that I live by? And then another question is, how has this experience changed me? How has this experience changed me? Those of you who go to Camp Manitani and work, how does that experience change you? What is it about Manitani that's so good or so demanding or so hard some years? What is it? You know, is worship, is what we do on Sunday mornings, is it changing us at all? Is there an expectation to be changed when we come? But again, a lot of times, what I want you to see, oh, this thing doesn't work, is a lot of times we focus on the knowing and the doing, and we kind of forget that reflective portion of who am I now that I've experienced this, now that I'm a part of this, now that I have served in this way, and now that I know Scripture at a deeper level than I knew before. It does change who we are. And usually it's a good change. And so the church can provide the structure for growth, but I must tell you that participation and commitment is needed if we're going to grow or mature. I've said this before, let me say it again. I'm going to use class as an example because I don't want to talk about church. The last class of the semester, I always ask my students, what's the best thing that you've learned from this class? Last semester was the first semester that I had one student say to me, I have not learned one thing from your class, to my face. And of course, being a good educator, and I'm not a good educator, that was a joke. I said, tell me more about that. Well, I just think the concepts are easy. I don't think you do a good job of teaching. And quite frankly, I could have probably gone, you know, I could have gone to school without this class. I was like, okay, thank you. And I moved on to the next person. So outwardly, I was calm. Inwardly, there were lots of things going on. Number one, he came to class twice a month. So you can't tell me that you haven't learned anything when you've never sat in the class, but twice a month. The other thing is he was a terrible speaker, which is what I mean, that's what I do. And by the way, you can be a terrible speaker in Jonathan's class and still get a C, which is what he got. Because I don't fail people unless they absolutely just quit on me. And of course, thanks, Rose. And of course, I'm thinking to myself, you have no commitment. You didn't follow a single concept that I taught in the class, and you are going to someone somewhere down the road, even though I said it on everything, is going to tell you that you need to grow and mature in this area of your education. I mean, could you imagine that you meet Jesus one day And Jesus said, hey, did you learn anything from life? Not really. Didn't learn a thing. Would you think it's Jesus' fault or yours? You know what I'm saying? Because if we're not committed, if we're not obedient, if we're not fruitful, it's not God's fault. Because I believe that God has given us every experience we need to connect with other people. I think Christ has given us the grace needed to live out the responsibility that he wants us to live. And so, you know, again, one of the things I will tell you that I am beginning to feel a pressure to offer everyone some sort of individualistic way of growing, because our schedules are all over the place. I mean, you know as well as I do that even trying to get here on Sunday mornings is becoming more and more impacted by our other activities. And I know that. I feel that. That's not a criticism. That's a reality. And so we try to have Connect on Wednesdays. We try to do some other things. You know, we have CR on Thursdays. And it's interesting to me because, and I will say I'm probably preaching to the choir this morning, but I feel this pressure of, Jonathan, are you going to study the Bible with me personally? And this is coming from Christian people. And I think to myself, I'll be honest with you. I do not have time to have 100 personal Bible stories a week, or personal Bible stories, I could record them, but personal Bible studies a week with everyone individually. But what we do have is Sunday morning Bible class. What we do have is worship service. What we do have is Connect. What we do have is CR. And I think, again, the church can provide the structure for growth. But on the flip side of that, our participation and commitment is extremely important as well. And so knowing opportunities where we understand our commitment is extremely important. Bible classes and sermons are important for sure. But we need to use tools to study Scripture and actually gain a deeper understanding as we know our faith. Doing opportunities check our obedience. Service to our community in the name of Jesus, as well as sharing our experiences of how we are connecting to people outside of the church, how God is using us to minister to others. This is important as we think about doing our faith. But also, being opportunities are also important. Now, what does that mean? That means that as we're knowing and as we're doing, we're taking time to stop and to be with Jesus, to be God's, to be filled, to be loved, to be worthy, to be saved, to be who we're meant to be in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the last sermon I'm going to do in this series called Post-Pandemic Church. We're going to start a new series next week. But the reason why I looked at this is because I think we're at a very crucial time. I think we're at a very crucial time in the life of Grace Point Church. Now, I'm going to say some things here that I don't think should be shocking to you, but I want to say them out loud. Like, for example, our church attendance has been in decline since 2017. And while our resources have remained steady for the most part, we have not experienced any significant growth in the past 5 years. Okay? Some of this is beyond our control. And yes, I will be the first to admit that COVID has had its effect on our church. But I do think that now is the time to begin to think about what God needs us to be in this place at this time. I believe it's going to take all of us growing and committing to be active in the church. I say here, and I think this is more of a cultural comment, I haven't really heard much of this, but we can't complain that our church doesn't have something that we want without being willing to do something about it. Too often in our society right now, there are too many critics than there are workers. And what the church needs is workers. Anybody can be a critic. If you don't believe me, come to a Penn State game with me. Come to a Penn State game with me. Bryn knows. I was sitting there rolling my eyes at some woman behind us telling Coach Franklin what plays to run. We need growth across the board. I need to grow. I'll be the first one to admit it. And that starts with understanding what God has called us to do and doing that. Doing what we're called to do and being the people God wants us to be. I need to grow in my reflection of who I am. I'm just gonna throw that out there because, again, I was trained to do and to know. I know and I can do. But, man, that reflection is so important. Let me ask you a question. You ever been to a church event that you're like, why are we doing this? I don't even feel good about it. You know? I mean, you know, not now, but like later on. What are we doing here? If you feel that way, let me know. Because I don't want to do anything that someone's like, why are we doing this? It's just busy stuff. You know? But we should feel a purpose for everything that we do. And we should probably communicate better what the purposes are for why we are doing what we're doing. Okay? I leave this series at a crossroads. Grace Point is trending smaller, and believe it or not, we're trending older. I'm older than I was 8 years ago. I don't know about you. But that's also how most churches are trending. Most churches are desperately desiring to grow, but wondering how to do it. Well, I believe it starts with me. I believe it starts with me. You know, one of the things that I think about a lot is, any team I've ever been on, whether it's sports team or whatever, I always think, if I do my job, that's what I can control. And if I do my job, then I'm going to be competent enough to help someone else, you know, help someone else in their job. This is also true when I was singing in a chorus. If I don't get my notes right and I don't know my part, I can't tell someone else, you're flat, you're doing this wrong, this rhythm is wrong. Okay? And so I think it starts with us. I think it starts with me. And so and these are the questions in the bulletin. I want you to, I don't want you to do them. I want you to reflect on them this week. The first one, are you growing? Have you come to a deeper understanding of the Bible as you're being a participant in this church, being committed to this church? Have you come to a deeper understanding of the Bible? Do you know what God wants you to do in His kingdom? Do you have a better concept of who you are in Christ because you are a part of this church? Secondly, are you going? So not growing, but going. With whom have you shared the Bible? Who knows about your faith and who has been invited to join you? Who needs a better concept of who they are through salvation in Jesus? So are we growing? Are we going? And the last question in my mind is one of the most important questions. Are you hopeful? Are you hopeful? You know, throughout the past 6 years, I have absolutely fought to remain hopeful that God is indeed blessing us. even in times where it was maybe hard to see, or at least hard to comprehend. And what I have found, and I don't know if you found this to be true or not, but this is what I've found, is when I am hopeful, I am also grateful. When I am hopeful, I am also grateful. Because if I can look to the future and I can see hope, then I can look to the past and I can see growth and development. And I think we always need to be thankful to God and to each other for sticking it in. You know, I think about that a lot. You know, and I'm gonna talk about Sherry. I think about Sherry a lot because, look, there are times, and she does a CR every week, and she is absolutely dedicated. Like, there's probably 2 weeks she's missed in the last 5 years, and okay, maybe four, okay? So she misses 1 week a year, every Thursday. You know Thanksgiving's on Thursday, right? Sherry will be here. Okay, Thanksgiving. There are some nights that we have 15, 20 people. There are some nights we have three. And every time we have three, and I love this. I want you to hear it. Every time we have three people, I always think to myself, God, what's happening? Like, what's going on? Is recovery over? Does no one need it? Anytime we have a small group, Jody's like, that's funny. Every time we have a small group, the very next week, two, three, four new people come to CR. And I am reminded that when we commit and are faithful, God will bring people our way. Okay? And I love that. It's not been easy, but as I close the sermon, I realize that each one of us needs to take time and reflect on what God has shown us. You know, I think we're kind of like, okay, you know, post-pandemic church, here's what we need to do. Here's what we need to learn. And we've learned and we've done. Now we stop. And there's been, I think, five sermons. Sorry. There's been five sermons in this series. And we've been teaching about what's changed, about what we need to do to reach out. But now it's time to reflect on what God has shown us through these times, who we have become during these times. And what is God now calling me to do in this period of reconnection and emerging back into the routine of life? Because I think that's where we are. I mean, after all, President Biden says it's over, so I guess I'm just kidding. Okay, so anyway. But if you have any insights or ideas during your time of reflection, I would love to hear them. In fact, they're very welcomed. You can email me. I drink coffee. You can take me out for coffee. I eat lunch. We can do that. I actually eat all three meals, as you can see. Maybe a fourth one if you ask Kaylee about 11 o'clock at night, but we won't talk about that one. But I do believe that we can be blessed and challenged at the same time. And I think that's what God is actually trying to get us to see, is that God wants to bless us, but we have to be challenged to maybe be a little bit more uncomfortable in our routines, to be more inviting of people around us, to be more aware of what's going on in the lives of our friends. And I feel that tension every day. Every day I feel the tension of God is blessing me, but he's also challenging me. And I think that's the proper place to be if we're going to be disciples of Jesus. That I'm going to be comfortable where I am, knowing that God is growing me to be more like Jesus. And I leave you with that idea. that we are called to be like Jesus in every way, and we are all on the way, and on the way, God is blessing us by showing us that we're on the way. And so, this is, again, this ends our series, Post-Pandemic Church. Understanding our growth and our obedience to Jesus really does matter. And when we do that, then I think we will see an increase here at Grace Point Church. Let's stand together and sing Open My Heart, which is the next thing on our order of worship.